it going, girls?
So
were you guys paying attention to your news, or were you trying to see how fast Aaron could get all of this set up? That was like record-breaking time. Well, hey, we are so glad that you're here with us tonight at Bridge Women. We've got a special night planned for you. You know, this season at Bridge Women, our theme has been She Unites, and we've been talking about just how important unity is to the heart of God. And so tonight, I'm so excited because we are going to be hearing some stories from some of our very own Bridge Women as we just hear about how they have walked out some of these different things and just how God has just really restored and brought unity into their lives. So why don't you help me and welcome some of them as they come to the stage. We're going to welcome Pastor Ann. We've got Callie Cram. We've got Jessica, one of our Bridge Youth girls. We've got Liz Bush and Melody Fix. Awesome. Welcome, girls. Find your seats. All right. How you doing? You're good? Good. You guys look gorgeous. You all look gorgeous. I love that. All right. Well, let's just start out by talking about why unity is so important to the heart of God. Anne, do you want to touch on that?
Sure. You know, that has been our theme in this season, She Unites, because unity truly is just vital to the heart of God. And we just want to talk a bit about that tonight and just kind of recap some of the things that we've been talking about in this past month. But, you know, the Bible talks very clearly about how vital our unity is among the body. And it compares us as many members, but all one body. It compares us to being like many stones, but all part of one building. And in John chapter 17, Jesus prays for our unity. Did you know Jesus prayed for you? It says that he prayed for everyone who would ever come to believe in him. That means each of us. So Jesus prayed for us that we, as part of his body, that we would be so united, just as he and the Father are united. And then he says the reason why this is so important is because when we are truly walking in unity, that's when we are going to reveal the Father and his love to the world around us. You know, that's the crux of the purpose for our very existence on earth. And then in Psalm 133, it says that where there is unity, that's where God commands the blessing. Not, oh, you might find some blessings here. No, when we walk in unity within the body, that's where God commands his blessings. And so if we want to walk in God's purposes for our lives and the fullness of his blessings for our lives, then we've got to get good at learning to walk in unity with each other.
Yeah, you know, I love that verse. It's such a promise from God that he commands blessing over our lives, and I love that. You know, this past month in our Tuesday gatherings, we have been just talking about how even though sometimes we want to pursue unity, there are things that get in the way and can sabotage that, and you know, and just how we need to be ready to combat those things. And so, Pastor Ann, why don't you just hit on some of those different things that are hindrances of our unity?
Yeah, like you said, we've been talking about that this past month. There's so many things. We can say, yes, we want to walk in unity, but then there's things in our lives that can actually sabotage that if we're not careful. Some of those things include insecurity. Insecurity will destroy unity if we're not careful and we don't catch it. Also, the busyness of our world. I mean, we all have very busy calendars. We're women. We have very full plates. But busyness and distractions will also hinder unity among us. And the cares of this world and worldliness will hinder our unity. And offenses is another big thing that will really hinder and destroy unity among us.
Yeah, you know, these messages that we have been hearing over the last month have just been so, so incredible. I don't know about you, but I've been really inspired by them. I've been really challenged and encouraged by them. And, you know, if whether you've heard the messages or not, I would encourage you to go back to the podcast just over the last couple weeks and just listen to some of those different messages, because, you know, we've gotten more in depth about each of these different topics that Pastor Aaron was talking about. But let's start with insecurities. Why don't we talk about how insecurities can hinder our unity?
Yeah, insecurity definitely hinders our unity. You know, as I was studying on insecurities earlier in this year, I looked up that word insecurity, and you know, it literally means instability. And as soon as I saw that, it reminded me of the verse in James that says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You know, I bet if I asked for a show of hands in this room, how many of us know that God loves us, we would probably all raise our hands. We know God loves us, but we also believe other things, lies that are contrary to that truth. You know, we can say, yes, God loves me, but I'm worthless. I don't really have any purpose. I don't know if I have any gifts or talents. You know, we can buy into all of these negative lies that are contrary to the truth of who God says we are and his love for us. And that makes us double-minded in our identity. And when we are unstable in our identity, that's insecurity. And it will impact all of our relationships. Because where there's insecurity, there will always be comparing ourselves with each other. We all do it so frequently, sometimes without even realizing it. But let's think about what really happens when we compare ourselves, okay? If I compare myself with someone else, first of all, the first thing that happens is we look at someone else and we make a judgment about them. Oh, wow, she is so talented. She is so gifted. So we have this judgment about this person. That's what we say about them. And then we look at ourselves and we make a judgment about ourselves in comparison. Oh, I don't have nearly those gifts or those talents. Okay, so we made a judgment about them, a judgment about us, and then it causes us to make a false conclusion. Therefore, I'm worthless. God could never use me. I'm not gifted. I'm not talented. How silly is that? Just because someone else is gifted and talented, does that mean that God could never use us? No, but that's what we do so very often. We make one judgment about one person, another judgment about ourselves, and come to a false conclusion that is contrary to what God says. And then it propels us into this cycle of competing to try to prove ourselves and to become better and to become more talented, to become more beautiful, to become more accepted, more loved. And it puts us on this very unhealthy cycle. You know, one verse that goes along with that is, just listen to this verse in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. It says, for we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. It is not wise, ladies, when we compare ourselves. We've got to stop comparing ourselves and competing with each other. It only divides us. It doesn't unite us. It only divides us. And that is against God's plan for us.
So true. I actually love that we spent some time to talk about the topic of insecurity, because I mean, I'm sure that there's probably no one in this room that could raise your hand and say, oh, I've never dealt with any kind of insecurity. Like, you would be fooling yourself. And, you know, it applies to everyone. And, you know, Kelly, in your story on our blog page, I don't know if you've read it, but Kelly's story is really amazing. So you can go back and read it on our Bridge Women blog page. But in your story, you talked about having dealt with insecurity. Do you feel like that insecurity made you compete and just compare yourself with other women?
Absolutely. I mean, there were some hurtful things that were said to me by women in my life when I was younger, and I carried that through my formative years, and because of that, I feel like I viewed building relationships with other women as some kind of competition, that I was losing. You know, when I compared myself to my peers, I didn't feel like I could stack up. And so it really kind of put me on the defensive when I would go into new situations and meet new people and try to get to know other women. I was guarding my heart too much and not allowing anyone to get too close to me because I didn't want them to take a closer look and not like what they see.
So then that caused you to pull back from other people and kept you from being close with other women, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I had built this wall around my heart, and the thing about building walls is, yes, it keeps other people out, but it also keeps you caged in. Yeah. So I felt lonely and in this abandonment and isolation of my own design. No one was making me feel that way. It was me. I caused that. I did that to myself.
We're our own worst enemy sometime. Mm-hmm. So how's God just brought you out of that, and how's God brought freedom in your life when it comes to your relationships with other women?
So when we started coming to the Bridge, my husband and I, it was the first time in a long time I had kind of felt God, you know, knocking on that door, knocking on that wall, going, hey, I'm here, come find me, you know, and God does not abandon those who seek him. So I started to pull out the word, and it was like God had taken and read all of those things that, you know, God says that I am. And it was like he took all of those labels that I had let other people place on me, and he just held them in his hands and crumbled them up and said, no, I know who you are. I made you. This is who I say you are. Your worth comes from me. It doesn't come from other people. And that gave me the courage to know, you know, finally come to Bridge Women. And I could have made excuses. You know, I was 6 months pregnant. My back hurt. My feet hurt. I'm too fat, no one's gonna like me, you know. I made all kinds of excuses, but I finally came. God said, no, I got you, you need to be there, you need to go. And the first person I met when I walked in the door was Mia. If you haven't met her, she's amazing, you need to. But the first, God placed it so I would meet her first, and the first words out of her mouth were, hey, I'm Mia, it's nice to meet you. Let me introduce you to some girlfriends. And like that, in that moment, I can't even tell you how much that spoke to my heart, because it was like, she knew exactly what I needed. God put her in my path because he knew what I needed, and she did. I left that night with invites to dinner. Like, I suddenly had a room full of really good friends who were all in the same place, and some of my best friends I met here because I was able to overcome my insecurity and hear who God says I am and not who other people say I am.
So awesome. I love your story. Yeah, give her a hand. Awesome. I love your story because you went to God's word and you stood on what his truth is and what he says about you. And you allowed that to just give you the courage to, like you said, you made the choice. Like, you were doing this to yourself, but you pulled yourself out of that and you allowed God to just give you the courage to make the choice to walk into a room full of women when before that was such... That was such like a off-limit thing for you. So I just think that's so amazing that you made the choice yourself. You know, how encouraging is that? It's awesome. Pastor Ann, how else can insecurities affect our relationships?
Insecurities affect us in so many ways and therefore affect our relationships. But one other way is that insecurities can cause us to become perfectionists. I won't ask for a show of hands of any perfectionists in this room tonight. But you know, sometimes we can put unhealthy pressure on ourselves to do everything just right, to do everything perfect in an attempt to gain acceptance, approval, even credibility. And if you've ever been around a perfectionist, first of all, a perfectionist, it can be exhausting to be a perfectionist, right? Okay. But did you know it can also be exhausting to be around a perfectionist? Have you ever been around someone that is just trying so hard to do everything so perfect and constantly trying to gain your approval and affirmation? It can be exhausting. And as perfectionists, we can often repel and push people away rather than uniting with people. So we've got to be aware of that. Another way that insecurities impact us is where there's insecurity, there's fear of man. We're always afraid of what other people are thinking, what they're thinking about us. What will they think if I say this, or if I do this, or if I wear this, or whatever. We have all of these things in our head that we become afraid of what others are thinking. And the reality is that they're never thinking what we think they're thinking. And it puts a wedge between us. Yeah. In Proverbs 29, verse 25, it tells us that the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. The fear of man is a trap of the enemy, and we've got to be so aware of it. Now, another thing, whenever there are insecurities, there is a devaluing of self. Insecurity always involves devaluing ourselves. So what do? We desperately try to get love and acceptance and our value from others. We all love compliments, don't we? You're women, I know you do. We all love compliments, we all love affirmation. But we need to recognize that someone else's affirmation or lack of affirmation does not determine our value. Absolutely does not determine our value. God values us. God loves us. He says we are valuable. Period. End of subject. Doesn't matter what anybody else thinks, all right? But you know, I think we can all say that we have something within us that craves love and acceptance, don't we? You know why that is? First of all, we're made in the image and likeness of God. And did you know that He craves our love and acceptance? He made us to love Him, to accept and believe in Him. But also, He created us with a void in our heart that can only be filled by His love and acceptance. And so often we try to fill that void with everything else, with other people's love and acceptance, and that void can only be filled by the love of God and the acceptance of God.
Yeah, that's good. We're gonna hear from Jessica next. This is Jess. This is one of our Bridge Youth girls, and I love her so much. She's so amazing. I love you. Oh my gosh, seriously, she's so amazing.
She is, also, and I love you too.
She what?
I love you too, I love you too. Aww.
Jess, you also have a story on our blog page, which was amazing. It was our very first story on our blog page, which was really special. That was one of our Bridge Youth girls. But in your story, you talked about having dealt with insecurity and just looking for acceptance from other people. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your struggle with insecurity?
Yeah, so growing up, I was really a people pleaser, and I found myself getting like my self-worth from other people and from what they said about me, and I was always just trying to do my very best to please them. And I didn't grow up in the church, so I always found myself with a lack of love in my heart, and I found myself trying to fill that lack of love with relationships and with people's opinions about me, and I got old really quick. And so I was finding myself in relationships that ultimately failed me, mm-hmm. and didn't, like, I was left feeling so unfulfilled and empty, you know?
Yeah. So how has God brought His love and His acceptance into your life?
Well, coming to the Bridge and meeting people who have taught me about God's love and what He says about me and the value that He has placed on my life, it's really just taught me that God is the only thing that could fill that void, and He's the only thing that's ever left me feeling like so full.
Yeah, that's so good. I love that. You know, we have an amazing youth ministry here at the Bridge, and this is just a little side note, but Pastor Corey and Amber do an incredible job with our youth and placing value on them and making sure that they know who they are in God. So if you have young people in your life, I would just encourage you, get them out to Bridge Youth on a Wednesday night. They will seriously be changed in their lives. They will just understand that their lives have purpose, that God has plans for their lives, just like Jess.
Yes.
And so get them there on a Wednesday night. Yeah.
Awesome. So awesome. You know, it's so important that we recognize our value in Christ. for all of us at any age. No matter what age we are, we can struggle with that sometimes. But we've got to be women that just believe what God says and recognize that we are valuable in Him. Because when we recognize our value in Him, that's when we'll be able to add value to our world around us. We all want to be women who add value to our families, to our friends, to those around us. But we will never be able to add value when we don't recognize our own value. But when we learn to recognize our value in Christ, we will be able to add value to our world around us. And you know, God never told us to be self-confident. Did you know that? The Bible doesn't talk about being self-confident. Our world bombards us with messages about being self-confident. But God doesn't talk to us about being self-confident. He wants us to be confident in Him. He wants us to live with God confidence, not self-confidence. See, when we live with self-confidence, we become this roller coaster where we feel great about ourselves one day and horrible about ourselves the next day, and we're up and down, up and down, up and down. That's not what He wants from us. We can be confident in Him every day. The fact that He dwells in us, His strength dwells in us, all that He is, His fullness dwells in us by His Spirit. We all, as His daughters, should be able to live with God confidence every day. But we've got to get our heads and our hearts around what His word really says about us, who we are in Him. And so we actually have these papers that we made up earlier this month in Bridge Women. We passed them out 1 week on a Tuesday morning, but we've got more available tonight over at the Connection Center. But it is two sides full of scripture about knowing who you are in Christ. And if you don't have one of these, I encourage you to pick one up before you leave today and put it where you're going to see it every day. Remind yourselves of who you are in Christ, because you are incredibly valuable and you are created to add value to the world around you.
That's right.
Preach.
You're like, clear the stage. I love that, God confidence, because that actually takes so much pressure off of us, off of yourself, when you just are like, no, God, my confidence is in You, and I'm just going to rest easy in that. Well, let's talk about distractions and busyness and just cares of the world and how that can really hinder our unity.
Yeah, we all are busy, aren't we? Like, I know you have a lot on your plate. We're busy women, and there's a lot of distractions around us every single day. But we've got to realize that the enemy will use those things to prevent us from uniting with each other, prevent us from taking time to connect with each other. And we've got to realize that he does that, because there is such power in uniting with other believers, connecting with each other. When we connect with other believers, we're strengthened, we're encouraged, we're refreshed, our hearts can be restored and healed. There is such health that comes to our soul when we unite with each other, and the enemy would love to use busyness and distractions to keep us from that. I mean, Ashley, as a young mom, you can relate to busyness and distractions. So how do you navigate those things?
So I've got two little ones at home. I know there's a lot of other moms in here. You maybe have less kids, or you have more kids. And if you have more kids, you are so amazing. But yeah, you know, honestly, it can be a big challenge as many of you moms, whether your kids are young or they're grown, you know that it can be a really big challenge just to get out of the house in the morning. It seems like it is just like, it's just like a circus. Like, I sometimes think like if someone were filming this, they would just get such a kick out of watching me rally up everyone to the car. But, you know, it seems like it's always so crazy and so chaotic when I'm on my way to a place of purpose. When I'm on my way to Bridge Women on a Tuesday morning or on a Monday night, when I'm on my way to our Moms at the Park Connect group that meets on Thursday mornings, or I'm on my way to Connect group, our Young Family Connect group on a Friday night, or to, oh my gosh, so we won't get started on Sundays. Sundays are the worst. But it's always so crazy, but you know what? it would be so easy to sit back and be like, you know what, I'm not going to do that. And on, I'll just be honest, there have been times where I've just said, you know what, I don't really feel like going. Like, this is just too much work. This is too much effort. But honestly, it is so worth the effort. It's so worth the chaos and the craziness of whatever it takes to just get here. And you know what, there's so much unity in motherhood. And you know, we're not supposed to do this alone. We're not supposed to walk through life alone. We don't need to raise our kids on our own. We don't need to be on our own in isolation thinking that we are just the only crazy ones and that we're the only ones that have kids who don't listen. Like, that's just silly. And that's just like the enemy trying to get you to stay isolated. You know, I've met so many moms here at Bridge Women and at the park and at church, and honestly, they've been my lifeline. They're the ones that I can call and the ones that I can text and be like, oh my gosh, like, I'm gonna lose my mind. And I get a text back and it's like, oh, I've already lost my mind. It makes me feel better. And it makes me feel like I'm not a bad mom, like I'm a better mom. But you know, it is just, I just encourage you, if you're a mom in this place and you know, you fight that battle, just know that you're not alone. Know that you're not the only one that has chaos, and just know that it's worth it. And know that it's the enemy's plan to get you to stay isolated, but it's God's plan that you would walk and you would live in unity with other moms.
Yes, absolutely. Awesome. You know, another thing that can hinder our unity among each other is the cares of the world. I mean, we all have things that we face. We deal with challenges in life, right? And sometimes those things can weigh us down. But you know, the Bible tells us that the cares of the world will choke out the word of God within us. So we've got to be so careful. And God doesn't want us to carry those things, and he doesn't want us to deal with them on our own. He says, cast your cares on me, for I care for you. Somebody in here tonight, you need to know God cares for you. He cares for you. You don't have to carry it on your own. And so we've got to be women who get good at casting our cares upon him, recognizing he cares for us. Because when we become so consumed with the cares of our world, it will cause us to shrink back, to isolate, and it'll keep us from connecting and uniting with each other. But you know, along with that, another thing is not just the cares of the world, but worldliness. Sometimes worldliness will, actually, I'll say all the time, worldliness will impact our ability to unite with other believers. You know, we come to God by his grace through our faith, right? He doesn't extend his grace to us so that we will keep on living in sin. He extends his grace to us so that we will begin to walk in truth, thereby living the lives he created us to live that are flourishing and purposeful and amazing in him. That's what he has for us. But so often, Christian women of all ages live with one foot in church and one foot in the world. It is so incredibly common, and it is so incredibly detrimental to God's purposes and plans for our lives, because it'll keep us from uniting, because we won't want other believers to know what we're really doing. So we put on our good little Christian church face, and we're one way at church, and then we live another way outside of church. And we end up pushing the body of Christ away, bringing division rather than unity.
Yeah, that's right. So Liz, in your story on our blog page, you were so transparent about your struggle with this. And, you know, which, like Pastor Ann said, this is so many of our stories. So would you just share a little bit about the time in your life when you were living with one foot in the world and one foot in the church?
Absolutely. So just as you mentioned, I was brought up in the church from a very young age, church every Sunday, Bible study every Wednesday. But as I grew up, I slowly just drifted away from what God's word said and what God was calling me to do. And part of that was due to an experience that I had when I was in sixth grade, and I was sexually assaulted by an older boy in a classroom. And so that kind of left me feeling worthless. And it sent me a message that my worth was only found in a man. Sorry. And so I kind of just went along in life, going from relationship to relationship. I would be in church on Sunday teaching the kids their Sunday school lessons, but Friday night, Saturday, all through the week, I would be living worldly. And so that was kind of how I lived for quite some time.
Wow. And so how would you say that that had an effect on your relationship with other believers?
So it definitely discouraged unity for me. It discouraged unity with other women of faith simply because, like Pastor Ann said, I didn't want to be held accountable. I didn't want anybody to know what I was doing. I didn't want anybody to see what I was doing. And so I pushed those relationships away, far away. Whenever I eventually got married, it also discouraged unity within my marriage simply because I didn't want my husband to know who I once was. I had this voice in my mind saying, your husband will leave you once he finds out who you are and what you did. Your in-laws, they won't ever look at you the same when they know who you were. And your family, they can't even know what you did. And do you think that God could use you, a woman like you, who did those things? And so it just cut me off. I cut myself off because I didn't want anybody to know who I was.
So how has God brought freedom in your life and just bringing you to this place where you're able to share your story with so many women?
So it actually came through my marriage, through my mother-in-law. She actually said, hey, why don't you check out Bridge Women? So I came out here and I met women who were so transparent and so on fire for God and just so much like, this is me, this is who I am, but I love Christ. And so I was like, I want that. I want to be like that. I want that relationship. So I began opening up the word, and I turned to God, and I read what he said about me. And I stood on Proverbs 31. I stood on, I'm clothed in strength and dignity, and I can laugh without fear of the future. Because whereas I sat back and thought, like, I am clothed in shame and regret, that's not what God says. I'm clothed in strength and dignity. I don't have to worry about when people find out who I am because I can laugh at without fear of the future because I know who I am. Okay. I'm holy and blameless. I stand without fault, Colossians 1:22. So through that, I was able to be freed. I was able to be transparent. And I heard God telling me, you know, tell your story because there are high schoolers, there are college women, there are married women of all ages that are just like you who are hiding in the shadows and don't want to be seen. And there's so much freedom in just giving it to God.
Amazing. Liz, I love how you, what you talked about, how you said you went to the Word of God. And Kelly, you said the same thing. And you know, how often do we go to everyone else? You know, and I just love how you guys knew, like, I am going to the Word of God. And God, what do you say about me? Like, this is who I am. And you let God's truth invade, like, the lies of the enemy and really just bring freedom into your life. I love that so much. So amazing. So last week at Bridge Women, we talked about offenses and how that hinders our unity. So, you know, we all have opportunities every day to get offended, whether it's small offenses or little offenses. But Pastor Ann, why don't you just talk to us a little bit about the trap that offense is?
Yeah, offenses are such a trap of the enemy. And I want to just take a few minutes to just talk about that and just kind of summarize some of the things we talked about last week at Bridge Women for those of you that may not have been there, but it's good for all of us to be reminded because we all face opportunities to be offended every single day. I mean, has anyone in here ever been offended? Yeah, if you're not raising your hand, you're lying right now. Don't lie in church. We all face opportunities to be offended. In fact, in Luke 17 and in Matthew 24, it tells us that offenses will come. Jesus said, offenses will come. We cannot avoid them. They are out there. There are the opportunities regularly. But that doesn't mean that it's okay to pick them up, to carry them, or even to intentionally create them. And if we study out offenses from Scripture, that word offense in the original writings, it literally means a trap stick to entice one to sin and to capture. Wow. Do you know what a trap stick is? A trap stick is what hunters would use to put the bait on, to put inside a trap to catch an animal. And then, as soon as the animal takes the bait, the trap door closes, and that animal is captured. Ladies, an offense is a trap of the enemy. It is the bait that the enemy wants us to take to entice us into sin and to take us captive. Offenses are a powerful tool of the enemy. And so we've got to be really wise and recognize that and refuse to pick up offenses. You know, when we pick up an offense, what happens? It tells us in Proverbs 18:19 that a brother offended is harder to be won over than a strong city, and their contentions separate them like the bars of a castle. The words won over weren't actually there in the original writings. They were added later. So it's literally saying that someone who's offended is harder than a strong city. Now, cities in the days that this was written had walls around them for protection. So when we pick up an offense, we become hard in our hearts. We put up walls around us and we say, oh, it's just for my protection. When in reality, they're just keeping people out and isolating ourselves. We are becoming prisoners of our own unforgiveness, bitterness, and hardness of heart. And that is exactly what the enemy wants. But listen to what it says in Acts chapter 24, verse 16. It says, therefore, I always exercise and discipline myself, mortifying my body, deadening my carnal affections, bodily appetites, and worldly desires, endeavoring in all respects to have a clear, unshaken, blameless conscience, void of offense toward God and toward men. So, Scripture tells us that offenses will come, that offenses are a trap from the enemy to bring division and destroy unity. But here in Acts chapter 24, it tells us that we can mature into this person who is void of offenses. That's good news. I like that. And I want to continually be growing and maturing in that endeavor. And when we refuse to pick up offenses, you know what happens? We leave room for God to do the miraculous in that relationship. But when we pick up the offense, it's like we close the door on allowing God to work in that situation. Let's be women that refuse to pick up offenses so that God can work in our relationships.
Yeah, that's so good. Melody, you recently had a situation that you could have really picked up a major offense. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. I work in a company that's exploding with growth, and as a senior accountant, we were needing help, and so the company decided to hire a controller. So she came in, and from the very first day that she walked to my office, it was very obvious her whole purpose was to show me she was in charge, and she wanted me out. And it began 6 weeks of the biggest challenge of my life, hell on earth, of emails in all caps, just, you know, challenging my integrity, the fact that I was intelligent even, you know, that how dare you do this way? And you know, it was very intense. And on top of that, I had a team of accountants underneath me who then were getting offended and hurt and, you know, wanting to rally alongside me to do something. And it was an email by email, moment by moment challenge to just, before God, say, okay, God, I'm not going to allow her to pull me into this game of who's in charge or whatever, and I'm not going to do it. I'm going to respectfully respond. I will not allow my, you know, coworkers to also, you know, pick up an offense. I'll just let them know, you know what, she's purposing to put some things in order. It's going to be okay. I fought really hard not to make it a bigger deal than it was already. But it was very obvious she wanted me out. And yet in the emails, it wasn't black and white, those words, but it was so obvious in every other dimension that I just kept walking it out and just said, you know, God, I just have to trust you with my life and where I'm at and where this is going to go. It's in your hands. And so about the end of the 6 weeks on a Friday night, I'd already left work and I got a text message. But the message wasn't intended to come to me. In black and white, she was telling another coworker, I don't care if Melody's a great employee. I don't care if she has integrity. I want her out, and the sooner the better for all of us. So, talk about having to get on your face, because I had a whole lot of things that I would like to have said. But I definitely just stepped back and said, God, there it is. It's in black and white, what I've been feeling and sensing and knowing, and I just trust you to guide me with how to respond to that.
So. Wow. Well, first of all, I can't really imagine somebody not liking you, Melody. I actually, when I heard this story, I could not believe that someone could not like Melody.
I have about 100 witnesses to
my talk. Goodness. And I also think that it's kind of funny that her position was entitled controller. Like, that's a horrible, I would never want that job. So how did you respond to all of this?
Well, in the midst, about week 5, there was a real turning point for me in being able to stay on top of all of it and not really be offended. I was just so hurtful every time I turned around, you know, because I was really purposing to do a good job and to, you know, work with integrity and be a team player, all the things that are being challenged. So I got there on a Monday morning, and my computer and all my desk stuff had been moved out of my office into a conference room. And the controller says, oh, by the way, you're going to work in the conference room. We're going to add a desk to this, to your office space. And I said, well, that's fine. She goes, I said, but I need my stuff. And she was standing at my files going through my stuff. And she goes, well, you have 5 minutes. So I had a few minutes to gather what I needed and move out of my office and work for a couple of days. So then Wednesday, I came in and everything was put back together, but I get to my office and the controller standing in front of my door, and she goes, oh, and by the way, we've decided the new person we've hired, it's only fair she gets this desk, gave my front desk to this new person, and put me in the corner, back in the wall. And so that day, I just absolutely took deep breaths all day long. I'm like, I'm not going to let this get to me. I'm going to, you know, Jesus, just help me walk in love no matter what, not to pick up an attitude, you know, even my expressions on my face, I was so aware of every moment. And so as I was driving home, I said, okay, God, I need a plan. I need something to help me make it through this part, you know. And God said, go get a plant, get a new picture, decorate your space. So I did. I went and got a peace lily, took it back the next morning. I stuck it on my desk, put a picture on the wall. I just made this space, my space. So as my coworkers came in and see me in the corner, they're like, oh, I'm like, hey, I'm right here. Here's, would you like my new plant? You know, I just turned it around as fast as I could. And purposed to turn it around.
That's amazing. I love how you said that you purposed that you were going to do something and that you were very aware of your actions, you know, because sometimes when we're offended, we just don't even care what our actions are, and we can just let loose, but for you to make that decision, just be aware. So tell us a little bit about what your relationship is like now with this woman, the controller. Yes.
Well, and as Pastor Ann said, that's in those places. Sorry, it's really emotional, because when you see God move on your behalf, it's really awesome. He really does love us and sees every step that we're taking and place in our life. And my response to the text message had been, you know, I see now it's clear where you're at and what you're wanting to do with my department and with me, and so let's just talk to the owners on Monday and we'll, you know, sort this out and determine where we'll go. So we met with the owners on Monday, and the one owner responded, he said, you know what, that was uncalled for. That should never have been sent. I am really sorry. And then he goes, but Melody, I want you to be my assistant. I want you to be the administrative assistant for the whole office, for the whole business, and work above her. So I told him, I said, you know, I really need to go home and pray about this because there is such a conflict. I said, I have to know that that's what I'm to do. And he said, that's fine, but I feel like you have the skills and the gifts that we need to be in that position, and it's going to work out. So then I really did pray. I said, okay, no, God, now I'm like right beside her, telling her what she needs to do when she's, you know, definitely not okay with me. And I've really just been praying. I said, Lord, help me to show her. I'm not vengeful. I'm not going to try and come after her. And it was probably 2 weeks later, she called me into her office. And again, still to today, when she calls me in, I still take deep breaths and pray on my way because you just don't know. And she said, Melody, I just want to tell you, I've never worked with anyone like you. I said, okay. She said, I've been waiting for you to just turn around and take me out verbally or send an email to the whole company, and you haven't done it. And I said, no, that's not what is right. That's not what I would do. And I said, I'm part of the team, and wherever I'm placed, that's, you know, my job, and I'll work respectfully. And she said, well, thank you so much. So since then, she sent me some really encouraging emails thanking me for my help and support, and even asked me to lunch once, so.
Amazing.
A miracle. Wow.
I love how you said every step of the way, you just turned to God and you asked God for wisdom and how to walk through this situation. I feel like that's so inspiring and so encouraging because, like Pastor Ann said, you know, we have opportunities to get offended every single day. And so we just need to be the kind of women that turn to God and say, God, give me wisdom. Like, how do I carry myself? How do I conduct myself in this? So amazing, Melody. You know, last week, like I said, we talked about offenses, and the podcast actually has some really great keys to just help us walk through all of that. So I would encourage you, highly encourage you, to go back and listen to that. It was really amazing. So, Pastor Ann.
You know, I just want to kind of wrap this up by just reminding us how important unity is. If we're going to fulfill God's purposes for our lives and experience all his blessings, we've got to learn to walk in unity. I mean, these amazing stories tonight, these women could have stayed bound up in insecurity, in the ways of the world, in Melody could have picked up that offense and responded completely differently. Ashley could stay isolated in the house, never getting out to connect with other women. You know, I mean, there's so many things that the enemy tries to do to prevent us from uniting. And we've got to recognize the tactics of the enemy, because so often we don't realize that it's the enemy. We just think, oh, I'm just too busy. Oh, I'm just too tired. Oh, I'm not getting anyone else's affirmation and I feel horrible about myself. You know, we can just like succumb to those things, but we've got to learn to be women who rise up like these amazing women have and said, no, I'm not going to stay there. I'm not going to believe the lies of the enemy. I'm not going to live under the cloud of shame. I'm not going to pick up the offense, because now look at how God has used them. They're using what they've been through as a story to bring glory and honor to God, to strengthen and encourage other women. And I bet across this room tonight, you have been able to personally identify with at least one, if not more, of these stories here tonight. And God just wants to encourage all of us and remind us, he's created us to be women who will rise up and choose unity, recognize the tactics of the enemy, and refuse to go in his way. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. So awesome. Did you enjoy that tonight? It was so good. Before we close out, Pastor Ann is just going to pray over our relationships and that we would have unity in our relationships. But before we do that, can you just give our girls a huge hand and just thank you so much for being vulnerable and being transparent and sharing your stories. And we just love you so much.
You know, I don't know what may have resonated with you tonight or what story you may have identified with the most. But, you know, I just believe God's been speaking to us in this place tonight. And, you know, maybe there is an offense you've been carrying. Or maybe you've been putting yourself down and choosing to let the lies of the enemy about yourself be louder than who God says you are. Maybe you've been picking up offenses or maybe you've been living under a cloud of shame of your past. Or maybe you're that one that's living with one foot in the world and one foot in the church. Or maybe it's something completely different that we didn't even touch on tonight, but the Holy Spirit brought to your attention. I want to pray for all of us that we would recognize the schemes of the enemy and that we would draw the line in the sand and say, no more. I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to believe his lies any longer. I'm going to choose unity because that's when we are strengthened. That's when we grow. That's when we walk into his purposes and blessings. All right? So I want to pray for you tonight. Father, I just thank you for each and every woman in this place. God, you know them intimately. You know them by name. You know those things that cause them to hold back from uniting as fully as they can with other believers, other women, other sisters in Christ who can strengthen them in their journey. Father, maybe it's just busyness, distractions, whatever it is. Father, I pray that we would be women who would recognize the tactics of the enemy and that we would refuse to participate in his tactics, that we would choose to carve out time of our busy schedules to connect with other godly women. We would choose to build godly relationships. We wouldn't shrink back in shame or in fear or in insecurity. We wouldn't pick up offenses or carry that offense a moment longer. God, we just give it all to you right now. And Father, I just pray that we would begin to walk in unity with each other, openness, transparency, genuine heart-to-heart relationship within your body so that we can be the strong, brave, courageous, purpose-filled, spirit-filled women walking this earth, revealing you and your love to the world around us. God, I just thank you and I praise you for it. Father, use each one of us more fully than we've ever been used by you before, God. I pray in Jesus' name.